Also, if you want to follow along in the paper, there are little red numbers that will appear on the slides that give you the page numbers into the paper. The paper is available either if it's not under this tab, this presentation, you can go back to tab one yesterday's, and there's a link there to get into the materials there as well. But it's the same. It's the same paper. We're just starting in the middle of it today. Let's go first with the a quick catch up where we left off yesterday. We were talking about development related agreements, and the question there, the big question in those agreements is immunity. Is the city or the county immune from a lawsuit based upon a development agreement or a development related agreement? And we were looking at the background, the two Wasson cases out of Jacksonville, where the Supreme Court has decided that the governmental and proprietary distinctions, the old thing that we used to see in tort law, does apply in the contract lawsuit context, and cities are not immune from lawsuits if it's a proprietary function. And they say you should look at the Tort Claims Act to determine what's proprietary or what's governmental. Kind of a funny thing for contracts, you look at the Tort Claims Act. And then they've announced a four-part test for immunity. So the first thing you should do is look at the Tort Claims Act to see what the function is. If you can catch it on that long laundry list of functions, then that might make it governmental. But beyond that, you have to go to a four-part test, which is you look at the city's act of entering into the leases or agreements. Was it mandatory or discretionary? Number two, were they intended to benefit the general public or the city's residents? In other words, was it more broadly beneficial or is it just for a local area? Was the city acting on the state's behalf when it entered into the agreement or the lease? And number four, that was number three. Number four is, was the city's act of entering into the agreement sufficiently related to governmental function to render the act of the city governmental, even if it would otherwise have been proprietary? As you might judge from the very vague way this is worded, that's not a very predictive test. And I would say, just looking at the trend of cases, that the courts tend to tilt toward proprietary in this type of agreement to make them enforceable in court. And if they don't make them enforceable in court as proprietary, they'll fall back on that other law that's cited in your papers as Chapter 271 of the Local Government Code, the one that's really for construction contracts, goods and services, and they tend to find a way to make the agreements enforceable under that statute, even if the proprietary governmental distinction doesn't get you there. There's at least one notable exception to that trend, which is cited in your paper. But the two cases that we're going to talk about today, I've just mentioned that we have 380 agreements all over the place. And then Chapter 271 is the one that is the backstop there. The two cases we're going to talk about today are the City of League City versus the Chimichangas case. This is the one where the city entered into a 380 agreement, an economic development agreement, with the restaurant owner there. And it was to develop a restaurant. Here's an aerial photograph showing where the restaurant was going to be. That's on I-45, about halfway between Houston and Galveston. There's Chimichangas right there, nice highway frontage. This is no ordinary restaurant. It actually made the promotional brochure that the city put out back when it was being developed, where they described this as a sister concept of Gringo's Mexican Kitchen, serves up the highest quality food and so forth. The city was really touting this particular restaurant. And they entered into the 380 agreement with them. Here's the header from the agreement. It looks a lot like these 3-day agreements in larger contexts where you might have a larger development. This is for just one restaurant, though. And the basic shape of it was that the developer or the Chimichangas agreed to build a restaurant and create jobs. And the city agreed to reimburse some of his costs, like impact fees and plat costs, and then later give him a percentage of sales tax revenues generated by that particular restaurant. Now, a dispute broke out, and Chimichangas sued the city to enforce it, claiming breach of contract, basically a money judgment. And the question became, was it enforceable? And the Court of Appeals ruled in this case that the city was engaged in a proprietary function and the city was not immune on the agreement, which I think falls in line with the trend of cases that I've identified in the paper. The second case we want to talk about is out of Carrollton. It's up in the Metroplex. And this is not a 380 agreement. It's a lease. The city leased a 30-acre tract. This is for a big sports and recreation and entertainment facility. The city was not going to construct it or operate it, but they were going to do some grading. And that's where the problem came. Here's a picture of the site. It actually looks like a pretty prime piece of property. That's the George Bush Turnpike to your right there, major thoroughfare crossing it, and the site is right at that intersection. But the problem arose when they were doing the grading. They hit a capped landfill and stalled the project, and they tried to restart it, and then there was a dispute that broke out, and the subcontractor ended up suing the city for trying to enforce the agreement. And so in this case, the court looked at it again and ruled that this was based on the performance of a proprietary function. They emphasized that the city was not actually in there operating the recreational facility as a like an amusement or something like that, but instead they were just leasing it and maybe doing a little grading. Held to be proprietary, the city was not immune, so that lawsuit went ahead.